welcome to this edition of the Charlotte Chamber of Commerce Member Success Stories. My name is Tom Cooper. As you know, this is our series of interviews with members of the Charlotte Chamber of Commerce. During these conversations, we're taking a little time to get to know a member and to learn about how the Charlotte Chamber of Commerce has helped them with their business. Today we're hearing from Charlotte Chamber member Dan Roselli from Packard Place. Dan is the co-founder of Packard Place, a hub for entrepreneurship right in the heart of Uptown. In our discussion, Dan talks about how entrepreneurship is a core component of economic development in Charlotte and how the Charlotte Chamber of Commerce has been working to support entrepreneurs. Let's listen in now.
We had a company come down to us yesterday morning and said, I'm hiring 11 people in the next 30 days. We need more space in the building. That's not going to make the news, right?
Right.
But those are 11 jobs and no incentives behind that. They're doing that because they're naturally and organically growing their companies here. And that's what really gets us excited about what we're doing is that this is all about economic development. Packard Place is Charlotte's Uptown Entrepreneurship Center. And what I mean by entrepreneurship centers, we do everything from provide spaces for entrepreneurs who are just getting started in terms of co-share space for offices and desks to housing and in some cases running four different incubator or accelerator programs to providing space for high growth entrepreneurship companies that may already have 10 or 20 or 40 employees. But the idea was creating a critical mass for entrepreneurship in Charlotte that would fundamentally change how the ecosystem interacts and the component pieces in the ecosystem interact with each other.
Why? Why did you say, I want to do this?
I believe for a long time that entrepreneurship has to be a core fundamental building block of the economic development story of almost any community. One of the downsides of Charlotte, though Charlotte had a wonderful financial services industry and deep and still does and will into the future, that we can't be a one-trick pony from an economic development standpoint. One of the silver linings of the economic crisis and the Great Recession is everyone in Charlotte woke up to the fact that having too many eggs in one leg of the economic development stool or basket isn't a good idea. And people jumped to the Charlotte as the New Energy Capital Initiative. And after a couple months, people realized, well, wait a minute, that's out of the frying pan and into the fire. And it was actually a chamber trip. It was the inner city visit to Seattle, where you had kind of the mainline business folks in Charlotte, the big company folks, really more than entrepreneurs, went to Seattle. And they looked at Seattle's economy. And this was 3 years ago, so right in the middle of the Great Recession. And they looked around how much of Seattle's economic development has come from companies that were less than 30 years old. And I think there was a real epiphany there saying that this thing called entrepreneurship is not necessarily a bad thing. Matter of fact, it's actually a positive thing that we want to support. So this massive shift that's happened in entrepreneurship in the last 3 years in Charlotte, you can trace back a lot of its roots to that Charlotte inner city chamber visit to Seattle.
Now, were you on that trip?
Unfortunately, I wasn't. That's the worst part. So I haven't missed the audience. That is the worst part of that. But what happened is came back and understand that before, and I would draw that inner city chamber visit to Seattle as a line of demarcation. And it's interesting because before that time, the chamber had some initiatives and some missteps on entrepreneurship. And Bob Morgan would say this very frankly, we've talked about it. The chamber didn't have a great reputation of working with entrepreneurs or wanting to work with entrepreneurs. And I think there's been a real committed, dedicated effort from the leadership, from Bob all the way on down through Kiva, Rod. You can go through the entire staff and a dedication to entrepreneurship coming out of that. And part of the reason that I didn't go on the inner city visits before is it didn't have any relevance to entrepreneurship. And so now, for example, how much things have changed in 3 years, we're engaged at Packard Place on this upcoming inner city visit to Minneapolis to not only go, but to help set up the entrepreneurial component of that inner city visit so that when people go, we make sure that they're getting exposed to the right things in Minneapolis that are the core, really emerging trends in Minneapolis that we would like to see happen here in Charlotte, that big company and entrepreneurial collaboration.
What happened to say the Charlotte Chamber of Commerce was a part of the story? How did, because I see your vision from an economic development perspective and from a personal legacy perspective. Mm-hmm. What happened that the chamber was part of the story?
So part of what happened when the shift happened 3 years ago, and I do give a lot of credit to the inner city visit to Seattle to help open the eyes of a lot of our kind of mainline bigger company folks and a real sincere desire to want to see entrepreneurship flourish. And the chamber actually held an event coming out of that Seattle trip where I was at the Ritz-Carlton, I was on entrepreneurship, and there were, I'll say, 400 people there, right?
Wow.
Talking about entrepreneurship. And it's funny because the dozen or two dozen people who had really been putting their shoulder to the wheel up to entrepreneurship for a decade, and we looked at all the people that are here and we're like, where did all these people come from?
Right.
The window of opportunity has now opened. And here's our opportunity to show leadership. And so we took that core group of people and we got together to talk about this, and we called it the Charlotte Entrepreneurial Alliance, the CEA. We said, who needs to be at that table to create an entrepreneurial vision for Charlotte? And the chamber was one of those absolute must-have seats at the table. So Kiva Walton has been incredibly supportive from the chamber's perspective of being there and being a component. And what it's allowed the chamber to realize is that it doesn't need to carry the full load on creating an entrepreneurial ecosystem in Charlotte. VenturePrize doesn't need to carry the full load. Packard Place doesn't need to carry the full load. But we all have a role to play in that if we can coordinate and connect. And what's truly impressive about what the chamber has done is the chamber has the big company connections. Mm-hmm. And they've gotten the big companies to rally behind this idea of creating an entrepreneurial ecosystem. And if you look at the power-up competition
right.
that happened kind of as a test 2 years ago, really took off last year and is going to continue. It is kind of one of the core themes of what the chamber is about. And all the members of the chamber understand the value of it. And they're seeing pitch competitions happen. And they're talking to entrepreneurs and they're seeing entrepreneurial companies grow. And it's just been a fundamental change in how Charlotte across the board looks at entrepreneurship. And a lot of that started with the chamber kind of breaking down that first wall. And they broke down a wall that probably only they could have broken down.
What could the chamber do next that would be another boost or augmentation or help to the entrepreneur? You're talking about access to the right people in the right places. What does that look like, or what is another aspect of that that we ought to explore a little bit?
There's an opportunity to be much more systematic in the connection of big companies to the entrepreneurial world, meaning the best form of capital for entrepreneurs is revenue. It's not private equity, it's not bank loans, it's not
right.
credit card debt, it's revenue. It's the best form of capital.
Right.
If you can take these fintech companies that we brought to Charlotte and the mentorship that some of these big financial services companies are giving them, if they can get a pilot at a Bank of America, and for Bank of America, even if it's $500,000 in revenue to the startup, which would be huge for the startup, it would be a rounding error for Bank of America. To say that Bank of America is the first client and help work through some of the bumps, and to provide that first $500,000 in revenue that allows them to go hire the two tech staff to blow it up, that's where those connections can happen. Right now, we're doing it because we're putting everyone in the same room. I would love for us to get to the point where we can go to a Bank of America or a Wells or a Siemens or a Duke Energy, take your pick of company, and say, what are your biggest pain points? Where do you need innovation to happen that you're not getting internally?
Hmm.
And be able to matchmake that with the entrepreneurial passion and innovation, and go to the entrepreneurs and say, if you solve problem X for us, you have built-in client, built-in revenue, built-in endorsement. That is something that few communities around the world have been able to do. I describe Charlotte as being a net importer of intellectual talent for the last 3 decades. And just like myself, who came down to work at a corporate job at Bank of America, fell in love with Charlotte and the community, didn't want to leave, and when I left big corporate America, I became an entrepreneur. Now, I did that the hard way because there weren't a lot of resources to do it when I did it. And the challenge is, how do you make that now easier for people? And so you think of the fintech program that we're doing in the incubator. Well, now if you have some subject matter experts who are world-class experts in financial services payments who have an idea and they're trying to debate whether to take the risk or not take the risk, well, now this accelerator program makes it just that much easier to go do it. And I know some of the people who are mentoring and connecting this program want to be connected because they want to see the entrepreneurial world. They like the pace, they like the innovation, they like the passion. And this is a way of them being able to put their toe in the water, not having to leave the corporate job, and in the future may become entrepreneurs themselves. And although they're leaving big companies to do it, I would argue it's still a huge net positive for Charlotte, because now they've gone from working in a big company to becoming a job creator based in our community. And I think we'll see that pick up steam as we go forward.
So I'd like to go back a little bit to, you talked about the inner city trip and getting the attention of the chamber on that. You mentioned Bob and Kiva specifically. What are a couple of things that you can point back to and say, this is something that the chamber did through Bob, or this is something the chamber did through Kiva to be able to deliver value to the entrepreneurship community.
Yeah. One of my favorite entrepreneurial quotes is actually from a scientist, right? Charles Darwin, HMS Beagle, Origin of Species. And the quote is that the species that survive are not necessarily the strongest or the fastest. They're the most responsive to change. And I would say one of the things that Bob and the chamber staff has done a fantastic job over the last 3 years is being responsive to the change of what's happened through the economic crisis, right? Connect that to the visit to Seattle, the university visit. When that came out and they saw that awakening happening, they went back and said, how do we move this forward? How do we make this just not an interesting trip? How do we make this, I called it a line in the sand, a line of demarcation. And we can say that looking back 3 years.
Right.
But at some point, they had to sit there and say, how do we make this a line of demarcation and a shift of where we go for the future and what we need to do in the future versus where we've been in the past? That's called leadership. That's called vision. And that event that I said where they held the entrepreneurial summit that they got all these people to come out to, that was a direct outcome of what are the action steps coming out of this Seattle trip. And then the entrepreneurial community engaged, and we said, we think we should do the CEA, and this is where we should head. And they said, great, let's talk about how we can help. Let's talk about how we have the appropriate seat at the table. And this is something to not only the Chamber's credit, but I think to the credit of everyone in the Charlotte Entrepreneurial Alliance. And I remember the very first meeting we had, and Kiva was sitting there, and I said, we have to take off the hats of the organizations that we work for. And we have to put on our hat as a community member of Charlotte first. And if we don't do that, this will fail. And I know Kiva has economic goals he has to hit, right? He's got revenue numbers.
Right.
He's got it. He's
we
got
all do, right?
Yeah, right? But in the end, let's focus on what's right for the entrepreneurial community first, and the rest of the stuff will come downstream. And like PowerUp came downstream. And the reason we support the PowerUp program and why we get companies to apply, why we host the pre-reception here at Packard Place, why we host meetups for it, why I talk to skeptical entrepreneurs and say, no, really, yeah, the chamber, yeah, really, is because they were there to support the entrepreneurial community, and now the entrepreneurial community is there supporting them back. And that's part of the positive, virtuous cycle of how trust is built up.
Sure. I'm intrigued by our conversation in that one of the things that I have heard from you a number of times is a theme of leadership. And my business is all about leadership. I'm a leadership coach. I work with people on leadership all the time. Mm-hmm. I'm curious to hear about your leadership journey. How did you go? How did you get that awareness about the need to take initiative, the awareness about need to cast vision? How did that come about for you?
It's interesting. One of the books that had the most meaningful impact for me in my life is it's now an older book, Seven Habits of Highly Effective People by Stephen Covey. I'm a big Covey head. Discovered it when I was in college, and a lot, I believe, of my success in life is driven from that. And if you're familiar with the book, it talks at the fundamental core about values. Who are you and what do you believe in? And can people tell what your values are by looking at your actions? If they never met you, but they looked at what you did, could they look at what Dan Roselli did and say, you know what, I bet his values are X, Y, and Z. And if they're not, then something is fundamentally wrong in what you're doing. And so part of the reason, in even doing Packard Place, it was a huge, and you could argue still is, financial risk for Sarah and I. This was us as a family pushing all our chips in the middle of the table at Charlotte, saying, you know, this is retirement, kids' college, this is the whole kit and caboodle. We're all in Charlotte. Because at the end of the day, if you don't make a meaningful impact in your community, what does it matter? We could have taken our money and taken our toys and gone home, but that doesn't really have an impact on making anyone's lives better than our own, which isn't a bad thing. But the purpose of leadership and being a civic leader has to be broader than that. And for me, you probably heard the term servant leadership as well. I'm a passionate believer in this concept of servant leadership, that you're here to serve others, right? Yes, you're providing for your family, but if all you do is take care of your own, then you haven't really been a servant here on this earth. And I think the last thing I would say on that is this emerging concept, which is really interesting. Queen City Ford is one of the tenants in the building, and they're a social entrepreneurship incubator. So an incubator just like RevTech Labs, but they incubate companies that are trying to solve the social issues of today through free market forces and capitalism, which I think is a really powerful concept. Think Tom's Shoes and what they do. Think
sure.
Goodwill Industries. Think Newman's Own. And we think Packard Place is a very large social entrepreneurship project. Hmm. Yes, we have a huge mortgage we got to pay. Yes, we want a fair return for the risk and investment we've
sure.
taken. And we think we can have a huge positive impact in the community all at the same time. And those are not mutually exclusive goals. And they're only mutually exclusive goals if you make them so. And I think too many business leaders today say, I can do good or I can make profit. And they stick the or in between those two things.
Right.
And I think a lot of what we're trying to show at Packard Place and certainly Queen City Forge is trying to do is those can be and statements if you really want them to be. And so, for example, part of what we do of how we run The Garage, which is the not-for-profit company that provides the free meeting space and the free coffee and all the resources we provide the entrepreneurship community, that comes because we take a small portion of the rent for everyone who pays rent at Packard Place, and that's what funds the sustainable mission of The Garage. So Sarah and I, over the first few years of Packard Place, have probably put in $400,000 of value into the nonprofit entity called The Garage through either hard dollar cost, opportunity cost of not renting the space, or the $5,000 a year of free coffee we give away.
Right.
But that's part of it. And if we can pay the mortgage and have a return, we're willing to do that because it's good for the community and is representative of the values we believe in.
I've noticed that you are engaged with the Metro chapter of the Chamber. Mm-hmm. What's in it for you? Why do you do that?
For the Metro chapter in particular, it still goes back to my passion around entrepreneurship and the fact that there's a place for entrepreneurs to play in the vibrancy that's happening in Uptown Charlotte and the Metro chapter. One of the things that's great about Packard Place being Uptown and being in the Metro chapter is before Packard Place, people would come to Charlotte and they say, well, where's Bank of America? You point to the Bank of America headquarters and you say, where's Duke? You point to Duke Lowe's, there's Lowe's out in Mooresville. You say, where are the entrepreneurs? I'm like, I don't know, they're around here somewhere. I just don't know where they are. And now, you know, delegations come through, and we've had multiple international delegations, and Packard Place is kind of one of those stops that people know that's where the entrepreneurs hang out. And that's what we want to continue to raise the flag for, that visibility, is that Uptown and the vibrancy of Uptown is a legitimate place for entrepreneurs to be. And we've talked a lot with Michael Smith at Citizenry Partners about this too, that if you look in their 2020 vision plan and what they want to do of making Uptown a vibrant entrepreneurial scene, it's younger people, it's tech people. Look at all the things that we want to do in vibrancy of living Uptown. A lot of that comes from the people that work at startups.
Interesting. That's interesting. What do you think the Chamber could do next to help you with your vision? So if they have a seat at the table and they're participating in the next things that are happening, what do you think would be the next thing that could happen that would be interesting?
Go back to that quote that I used from Charles Darwin about being responsive to change. What's happening now in the entrepreneurial world will be different than what's happening in 3 years. It's a constantly changing game plan. And the communities that are most responsive to change, I argue, are the ones that will win. And the Chamber has shown over the last couple of years its willingness to try and hang with the entrepreneurial pace that we move at. And I think they need to continue to do that and be flexible. And that's hard sometimes to do because they're that rubber band between the entrepreneurial world and those big companies that sometimes don't move so quickly.
Right.
So help and identify, how do you get the companies to move as fast as they can? Who are the forward-thinking, innovative, progressive people in those companies that get it, that can help reduce the tension on that rubber band? Because that's part of the job of entrepreneurs in Charlotte, is to move and to challenge and to make stuff happen. And it's one of the things that I think the Chamber has been very supportive of Packard Place from the very beginning is when people looked at it and we say we're going to buy an Uptown office building, people looked at it like we had three heads. And I tried to describe what this was going to be. You're going to do what? But to the Chamber's credit, they have been there since day one saying we'll support this vision and go on this journey with you. And I'd say continuing to do that is what the Charlotte ecosystem needs and what Packard Place needs. We need to know that we have a partner in the Chamber.
That's great. Well, thanks so much for the time. I appreciate it. It's a good conversation.
I'm happy to do it. Thanks for taking the time.
Cool.
In today's conversation, Dan talked about how the Chamber of Commerce helped even from the very beginning in the launch of Packard Place, how entrepreneurs contribute to the overall economic growth here in Charlotte, and how the Chamber continues to adapt to effectively engage with the ever-changing world of our local entrepreneurs. Thanks for joining us for another Charlotte Chamber of Commerce member success story. Join us next time. For the Charlotte Chamber of Commerce, this is Tom Cooper, signing off.